My name is Byron Gonzalez. I am host of Bilingual Sounds here on the Independence 88.5 FM. You can catch me every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. You can stream the station online at 88.5fm.org, or you can also download our very own free app in the App Store or on Google Play. We're also available on the iHeartRadio app and TuneIn app. So today we're doing our 88.5 Live at Home series. And it's a series where we combine interviews and performances by artists recording themselves at home because of the pandemic and everything. And today we have singer-songwriter and producer Joel Jerome. He is a Los Angeles local. And thank you so much for joining me, Joel. How's everything today?
It's good. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
No, it's good. I'm just another day at home, you know, but luckily I got my home nice and situated with my wife and my dog and my studio. So I got stuff to do and I'm good to go.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you just released a new single, which was for Feliz Navidad. And it's a solid cover. How have you been throughout this pandemic? I know you said you have a lot of work doing, but, you know, and we're already 10, 11 months in. How have you been throughout the whole thing?
Well, you know, like everyone else, man, just trying to figure it out, you know, but the first few months were a little strange, you know, a little scary too, you know what I mean? I mean, they're still scary, obviously, but people were afraid to do anything, obviously, for the first month and go to the grocery store and touch anything. Stuff like that was kind of weird to get used to. But honestly, man, it's like at this point, I've already slowed down in general. So, like, I'm usually home unless I have to play a show or something or maybe see if, you know, go to a random party here or there for a special occasion, not just because it's a weekend or whatever. So I don't really go out in general anymore, and neither does my wife. She's like, she was studying to get her PhD, which she just got, which I'm really proud of her for. And wow. So she's been a homebody, you know, for that reason, you know, studying and working. She's also a professor. So we don't go out. So that sort of thing kind of didn't change, you know, and it just kind of made me focus on like, okay, this is a weird thing. Obviously it's a negative thing to be happening in general. I wish it wasn't going on, but what's the best thing to do with it? So I have a studio. I have all the time now in the world. I don't have to worry about going out. There's no deadlines for things necessarily. Why not just work on stuff that I've been trying to work on my own? Cause like you said, I engineer more than produce. I produce myself, but engineer a lot of other bands and stuff. And like, there's always work that way. And now that was drying up, I was like, well, now I got time to do me. So I kind of just made the best of it.
So have you been writing a lot of songs in the meantime?
Now, writing songs is weird. I like recording songs more than anything. Like, I like recording. It's just fun. It's like a mental exercise. It's creative. It's something I like to build. You know, I'm a Mexican. You know, I feel like I DIY everything and I like to figure it out. So that's why I like recording. And the writing the music part is actually sort of the not funnest for me. Like, it's I know that sounds weird, but I don't sit down and write music, you know, or write a song because I'm inspired. I just kind of play covers or just if I'm even playing guitar, like something might come out. But so I haven't been writing that much because another reason is because I just finished writing a whole record in December of last year. So like, and that one I did a little differently than most, but like I actually sat down and every night forced myself to write one song.
Oh, wow.
In 2 weeks, and I did. I was really proud of myself. But I had like snippets of like voice notes that I went from, so it wasn't like total like inspiration, but it was great. Sat down with one, did one, so I did that, and that was the first time in a long time, if anything, I wrote like a batch of songs like that. So it's been ever since that whole excursion, I just kind of like, okay, I need to like now do record. I kind of switch off depending on what I've been doing more.
I do want to talk about that later. I know you released two singles last year. But right now I want to get to know you a little bit more about your musical past and, what got you started writing music? What really set that train in motion?
I don't know. Like, you know, like anybody else as a kid growing up, what you heard on the radio really inspired you and stuff. But I grew up on rap, K-Day, K-K-Y, like a lot of 80s stuff for sure was my first musical love. Besides, I guess stuff that I didn't even know I loved just because once you don't hear it for a while and you hear it again, you're like, oh, I love that song. Like the stuff I grew up listening to, my parents are listening to. So like that sort of thing. But I never thought about playing it until like high school. Just like, you know, everyone was joining bands at that or starting bands at that point. You kind of just start making, you know, finding interest or whatever. And I did learn how to play guitar when I was young, but I didn't have a band. So it wasn't until high school. And then, you know, it's been pretty basic. Just in high school, I started doing it and I've been doing it ever since, really.
and the recording part, you said you had your own studio. That are you self-taught? Did that kind of come along with your love for music?
Yeah, and like I said, it's like I'm DIY, not necessarily by choice, but like obviously money for everything. I'd maybe have somebody else do stuff for me, but you know, when you need to figure it out, you need to figure it out. And so you start with your four track or whatever, and I started liking the whole process. And you know, the bands like the Beatles and the Beach Boys and even like anti-folk stuff in the 90s, like Beck and stuff, they had four track recordings, and all that kind of piqued my interest in the recording process because it could be a creative tool, you know. Like I don't know, like that. I didn't, like I said, I didn't really get music because I like playing all the time, but like I'm an artistic dude. I was drawing first since I was 5. And then music was another way to be creative. And on top of playing music, recording was a way to be creative. So it just evolved, you know, just kept going that way. And I just learned myself. Thankfully, the internet now is a big help for that.
It's a lot of YouTube tutorials and it's just a lot school. Of
yeah.
Night school, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so you have a couple songs prepared for us. Let's get into that first one. You have Feliz Navidad right mm-hmm. now. Let's get into it.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. No, wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
And you just heard Feliz Navidad by Joel Jerome. I want to ask you, what was your choice to cover that very, very classic Navideña?
Oh, well, I actually learned it for real. I mean, you know, everybody knows it by heart, but I learned to play it last year for like a show, a Christmas show. And, you know, actually like learned the chords and learned and just not much else to learn. There's like two words or two lines to the whole thing. But it was just, you know, a family. I don't do Christmas stuff and it wasn't planned that way. But this new record I'm putting out with Dangerbird, they asked me if I had a Christmas song by chance or whatever, you know, I'm like, oh, actually, I've been covering this one song, Feliz Navidad, and like, it's just a great song. It's just like, that's one of those things I say when you grow up listening to it and you don't know how much of an influence it's going to be until like it shows up way later. That's definitely one of them for me. It's like, I mean, Jose Feliciano's like obviously way cooler than I even thought he was when I just knew that song. Like, he's got a big history and some cool stuff, but that song is like perfect pop song. So it's just in my brain forever. And it just seemed like a good fit for this, obviously.
Yeah, and it's so easy to sing along to. Anybody who, even if you don't speak Spanish, could sing along to it. It's great. It's a good song. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Can we expect any more Christmas covers coming up from you?
Like I said, it's not like I normally do it, but I don't know. You know, I never say never. I like to like do one and then kind of figure something else out for a while. And if like I do a few in a row or throughout the years, I'm like, okay, there's four songs. Maybe I'll do five more and call it like whatever that thing is, you know? So like I'm doing now with a Beck covers record. So like I've been working on that for like on and off for 10 years. And so
yeah,
like,
I saw that.
Now I got 10 of them. I did already did 10 before in 2010. Like I put one out earlier, but I finally got enough for the next record. And then actually doing that now it's a record because I got enough of them. So I just move on. I don't know if I'll do any more Christmas stuff, but you never know. I mean, I love Wham's, Christmas song. And it just depends on the Christmas song, really, if it inspires me. Because, you know, they can be kind of cheesy. But, Feliz Navidad is just like, it's such a great song. That's like, my people will get it. And everyone else that hears it for the first time will be like, that's a great song.
So, yeah, it totally is. And done by Jerome, too. Just giving your acoustic guitar to it. And it's great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Let's see. You were telling me that your songwriting isn't your biggest forte, but when you do songwrite, do you think the process has changed a lot throughout the year? Do you find it still as hard as it was the first time you ever wrote a song, or do you find it as challenging?
Well, like I said, the really big eye-opening thing was this past record. The first time I've ever sat down and wrote like a batch of songs for an album. Like before, because I record so much, like if I wrote a song, I'd record it. And then if I wrote another song, I'd record that. Whenever that happens, so like I would then put all those, if I get enough within a year or two, then I'd make a record. But they're all essentially different writing sessions and different, whatever. So that's the way it was for a long time. Like that's the only way I ever did it. I never sat down and wrote in batches until this year. I tried it. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to try it and just experiment. I like giving myself projects because sometimes I run out of things like ideas, and that's just an idea. Like this is like one of those Brian Eno and David Bowie cards, where I forget what they're called, but where you have an objective and it kind of gives you like your direction to go to, and then you can just kind of float and use your creativity to figure it out, So I did that, and that was so different, but it was so cool. So like it's making me think about whether I need to do that again, because it was pretty fruitful. Like it was interesting making a record in 2 weeks, or writing a record full songs, a full record in 2 weeks. I don't do that. I know a lot of people can, but I don't. And they all did have a similar like style, a similar vibe, which lends itself to a record format, But I don't know, that's the one thing that's changed. Like otherwise, I think I'm still always going to like, if I get inspired, I just like hear a song or inspired by a song, record it, and then like use it somewhere else, because I don't know how long records are even going to be a thing necessarily anymore. And things are shifting in so many ways. It's just like, it's hard to tell. I've almost always been a singles guy. Like I said, I just write when I write and then I put them together later, but that seems more like a collection of singles. So, but that's how I think the music industry is going. Like, I don't know how much longer albums are going to be a thing. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say, but so that's, who knows how my writing will go, but I'm going to try anything to kind of get it going. So I have a way, but it's changed now a little bit, or at least I added a different thing to it. Who knows? I like maybe giving myself a direction, just be like, do this, and then make myself do it. Because waiting for inspiration sometimes is like, it's beautiful, but it's also slow and it's not guaranteed. And I heard some good friends of mine say, elbow grease sometimes gets those creative things flowing. So if you just get working on stuff, it'll get maybe the creative juices will start flowing too if you just make yourself kind of do it. So that's about it. I'm trying to take more advantage of, like, I think COVID has definitely made me think about it too, take advantage of, like, not just use because there's a, the world shut down for completely. Like, that's weird when you think about it. Everything just ground to a halt, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, all of a sudden, like, it's almost like the world's spinning and you're just going around. It's kind of spinning a lot. You're just anxiety. You got to get stuff done, you know, get happening. And then everything just, the world just stops. That's how it felt. And so, like, I was like, now it's, everybody starts to get himself reflective on how you work and how you want to output. So I think that's going to change moving forward. And that's probably going to be true for me. And it made me really focus on, like, my, what I'm doing, like making music and how I do it and how often I do it and what under circumstances. So it's a big thing, but, you know, it's my songwriting is definitely been affected because of this year. And it's going to be interesting how it goes moving forward, because it's never been like my fun thing. Like I said, maybe that's why I'm so slow making records, because
I like the idea
just so I can record it. I want to record it.
And do you think now with this new perspective that you found this year, will you be making more music than you anticipated? Maybe, is that a feeling that you have right now, that you're probably giving yourself a goal like that?
The goal is more, it's a little more broader. So it's not like I got to make my music and do things. I just got to do something, and I got to like have, you know, like a project to do. And then like I said, I've just finished up second Beck record. Like I noticed I had 6 songs. I'm like, oh, or 4 songs, whatever. So I get 6 more real quick to 10 song record. Good to go. So I just started working on that for 2 weeks, finished it. And then now I got this other thing I can work on. And I don't know. That's just how it's going to be for me from now on. I think like just stay busy. I'm not overworked if I'm, you know, but stay busy. And like, as you're a freelance art dude, like, you know, musician, like so many musicians and freelancers in general just know you got to stay busy, but it's hard because you got to learn how to manage yourself and manage your time and give yourself enough, just nothing time too. So it's going to be interesting moving forward, but thankfully I have a nice situation. You know, I got a super nice place that's cheap because we know the landlady and she's a very nice person and she's been very helpful. And that, you know, my wife works and we both share. So we share expenses. I have time and the comfort to do stuff. So I want to make sure I take advantage of that time, because I was reminded this year that, you know, nothing's ever permanent and you might as well do it, you know, when you can.
Yeah, that's very true. Right now, let's get into the next song that you have ready for us. I believe it's When You Land.
That's right.
Let's check it out.
That's one of the new ones.
Will I be there when you finally land? 'Cause I've been looking up into the sky. You're low on fuel, it seems. Not a dream, 'cause I've been staying up late every night. I don't wanna wait forever, but I will try. If you ask me now, don't know why, but I'll be here up all night. You're low on fuel, it seems. I hope you're not a dream, 'cause I've been looking up into the sky. I don't wanna wait forever, but I will try. If you want me now, I don't know why. If you're coming down, I'll be there when you crash. I'll always be right by your side. But will you be on
And we're back. You just heard When You Land by Joel Jerome. Can you tell us a little bit about that song and what inspired you to write it and what's it about?
Yeah, that was probably one of the first ones I wrote. First or second ones, I told you that in December for this record. And so it was just one of these voice notes I had in my phone. When I do get inspired, I definitely use my phone to try to capture at least the melody and like whatever chords I'm using. And then, so that was just one of the ones I, you know, from that session, that 2 week session that I just found the voice note that night, you know, took my medicine, tried to listen to some voice notes, like thought about which ones inspired me, pick that one right away, use my, use my nylon string guitar, because it was like midnight, I don't want to wake up. everything was kind of soft, you know, like kind of like that song is, you know, basically nylon string picking. And that was one of the second ones. And this is one of my favorites, though. It's got like, it reminds me a lot of things. Like a lot of my music, I know, reminds me a lot of things. Like, but it's got a lot of elements I like in it, a little Bowie, a little Beck. And, you know, it could be about a lot of things. The words were also kind of written that night. And I never do that either. But honestly, I don't like writing lyrics. So I like, it's one of those things, just kind of figure it out. So it was from one of those sessions. And it's one of my favorites.
Nice. And what can we expect from Joel in 2021? You were talking about you creating a new album. When can we start seeing those songs? And are those singles that you released last year part of that?
No, those aren't part of it. But the one that When You Land is going to be the first single. So you actually get to play it, like I think, first before it even gets released as a single in March, I think. You know, we'll see how things go. But sometime in the spring. It's going to be the single, the demo version. It's the stuff that I was recording, you know, before I'm actually going to actually record the record, which is going to start really soon. And then, so 2021, hopefully I finish a record in a month and give it to them and they can figure out when is the right time to put it out. But a new record hopefully will come out later that year. I don't know how it's going to work. And then we'll see what touring's like. So I don't know. Honestly, I would have more of an idea what I'd want to do, but I just don't know what I can do because of COVID, you know? So it's like, it's all up in the air. All I know is I'm going to start and finish a record in January. And, you know, after that, I got to find something else to do. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And live streaming isn't your thing, huh?
I don't do it often enough. I thought about it. I'm like, is that something else I got to now know how to do? You know, because it's like, do I get the cameras? Do I get all this stuff? I'm like, I'll figure out a simpler way. You know, the video is one thing. I know people don't need HD 4K unless, you know, they really need it. But I figured working on the audio is the most important part. So yeah. I think I got it. Like, I think I got that, like, figured out a little bit more. So it'll make it easier in the future. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. If there's enough interest, obviously, yeah, a live stream if anybody wants it, you know. I think the next record is definitely going to be an intimate record. Like, it's not, I don't think it's going to have a drummer on it or anything. It's just going to be like that. It's kind of like When You Land, like that filled out with, the whole record is basically, the idea is one to two guitars, complimentary, and two vocals. One doing the main one doing the harmony. So it's supposed to be very simple, man. Like some touches, maybe atmospheric touches underneath, and that's it. So playing out live, we'll see how that's going to work next year. But streaming is an interesting option in that style, because like what I just did with you, like, yeah. I could figure that out a little nicer, a little like more, maybe back with a bigger backdrop.
Yeah.
One or two people. And I could pull it off, I think, with this record. So, you know, we'll see.
And what kind of sounds can we expect from the new record? Are you still going to be heavily influenced in sound-wise by Beck and David Bowie?
Sound-wise, definitely more on the Beck side. This record, I think, you know, just an ode to that, the one foot in the grave, too, a little bit. More of his, the slower stuff on that record, the more tender stuff. Like, there's a song called It's All in Your Mind, which is one of my top five songs by Beck. And no one's really heard of it, but it's like, and it's poorly recorded, and it's, you know, just not it's not a mainstream song, but it's a to me, when I hear it, it has such emotion to it. And so, like, the whole record, I wanted to have more lean on that. So it's even gonna be a little different for me. Like, normally I like throw things on you, like for these now, yeah, I'm like just trying stuff out, throwing stuff, colorful walls or whatever, and like see what happens. And this one I'm gonna keep kind of simple. Like, sonically, it's going to be simple. It's going to be like two guitars, focus on vocals, focus on harmonies, and make those two things just sound as best as I possibly can. And then everything else will be like just little touches, like pads and maybe piano keys here and there. But like, it'll just be a song and vocal and guitar based thing. That's pretty much what's going to lead the aesthetic charge there. So, yeah.
Well, I can't wait, because honestly, I think one of my first collections of songs that you, as you call it, that I heard from you was Babies on Acid. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really, really interesting. And do you think it's going to have like that similar sound, or is it kind of going to fall from that?
No, it's definitely going to be a little different than that. And that's actually, now I think about it, that's another one that happened, and like actually recorded that in 2 days, because I got a new drum kit. From a friend of mine who owns this company, CNC Drum Company. They're great. And so, they gave me this kit, tester kit, and I was like, I'm going to test it out. And, like, you know, did recorded the Babies on Acid songs to test out the drums, and I just liked how much it sounds so much to put it out, you know. So that had a whole different vibe in general. That was all me. So that was kind of one of the few ones that's just simply me, like, the whole way through, you know. Like, normally I have at least another drummer or something else.
Oh, okay.
But so this one will probably be sonically different, like I said, because mostly it's going to be different instrumentation, a nylon string guitar, quiet vocals, and like just atmosphere. So like Babies on Acid is very pop, very like, you know, drum, bass. To me back then, I was like thinking like, I want to have cumbia meets like a cumbia bass line meets like a Beatles backbeat. So that's why, you know, you get all these bass lines, yeah, that I put in there. And then I thought, as that's perfect, like three-person band, like song style. So that's probably going to be a lot different than these songs. Although, like I said, man, you never know. Because if I get in a room full of other musicians eventually, we'll see if that ever happens. Like, and we try to play these songs, they might come out totally different. So
yeah, exactly.
But at the moment, I have a plan. I'm going to do this on my own, so it's probably going to be mellow, more mellower than that record. But yeah, I love that record too, though.
So mellow is the essence of Joel sometimes.
sometimes, especially these days, it seems like, you know, at least for one record, we'll see. The next one might be a claustrophobic, chaotic.
Exactly. So let's get into the next song. We're going to hear Tell Me Thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Older song, but one of my favorites.
All right, let's get into it. If I told you everything was fine,
would you stop the question so I wouldn't have to lie? Would you tell me everything would be okay? If I don't believe you, would you tell me anyway? Tell me thing, everything, anything kind. Please, oh please don't tell me anything, oh never mind. Do 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 do. If I told you everything was fine, would you stop the question so I wouldn't have to lie? Would you tell me everything would be okay? If I don't believe you, would you tell me anyway? Tell me thing, anything, everything kind. Please, oh please don't tell me anything, no never mind.
And we're back here on the Independence 88.5 FM. You just heard a song by Joel Jerome called Tell Me Thing. Well, it's actually one of your older bands, one of your first bands called Dios. Can you tell me a little bit about the song and during that time, what influenced you to write it?
Yeah, that's it. I'm not sure what influenced me to write it. I don't remember writing it. So,
such a long time ago.
It was over 10 years ago. And although I do remember writing some of my songs, I don't remember how I write most of them. So, who knows if that one came out? I'm sure, because if you can tell as a savvy listener, there's like some Beatles influence to it, like Don't Let Me Down type of feel. But I don't, no inspiration to think of. It was just probably one of those things. It's like, oh, now let me record this thing,
Let me just do it.
I mean, obviously I don't just throw anything out. And like, if it catches my ear, I'm like, okay, great. I got something I like. Now let me record it, So, but I like that one because it works in a full band thing, and it works as a solo song. Like it could be a delicate song too, So I think it works both ways. So I like those songs. And I like playing that one on the nylon strings. That's why I chose it for this thing. Thought it matched When You Land well,
Yeah. And I was going to say that I think I was reading that Dios actually got you on Coachella. Is this true? How did it feel to get your band on a place like Coachella?
Pretty amazing, man. It was a long time ago, 2004. But what was really cool, and obviously that was very cool to be able to play it. But for me, I think almost as cool, if not more, was the fact that we played on the same day and the same festival. Obviously, it was like the Pixies and Radiohead.
Wow.
Like they played back to back, that night that we played. So, you can only imagine, we're just excited to be there in general to play. And me and my brother and I, and the rest of the band too, we were just big, Radiohead and Beatles heads, for a while, especially OK Computer. I'm more of an OK Computer guy. That's a really, really, really important record for me. And Kevin, my brother Kevin too. And so we were just so excited to play it. And there's a lot of people there. We were the first band, noon or whatever, 12:30, but there's tons of people there. It was great. I actually met a lot of friends that day that I've still talked to now.
That's super cool.
First time there. Yeah, it was really cool.
And were you able to go backstage and kind of meet your idols back there? Or was it because you were one of the first bands, they don't give you that much access?
Yeah, that's interesting. I can't remember I don't think we hunted anybody down. I was basically we played at noon, right? So we were already kind of drinking to get loose. And then obviously if you start drinking at that point, you just never know what happens. I know there were some brownies involved. And I think we're just going to see music playing more often. We went to see music playing. The cool thing, we can go see backstage. So we weren't meeting anybody, but we, you know, maybe you walk by somewhere, like a cart went by and there's that dude, but nothing. I can't remember like meeting anybody in particular. We all had like a little like trailers that were next to each other with our band names. It was cool seeing, oh, there's a band name, but you never saw them, you know? So they're probably in their buses somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. In the green room.
Yeah. So I don't know, but, it was definitely nice being able to see shows from backstage. I think, did Beck play that night too? And like saw him from the side. I can't remember now, but it was pretty cool.
That's a luxury. That's awesome, yeah, man.
I mean, that's a benefit. One of the few benefits of being a musician, sometimes you get on those shows and you can see that kind of show, but it was a long time ago. It was really fun. I still have good memories.
That's awesome. Of course, you can't forget your first Coachella performance.
That was great. That was great.
So I have a couple quick and easy questions for you right now. It's kind of like a lightning round, I guess. What is your favorite movie?
Ooh. That can mean so much, right? How about we say change it to what is one of my favorite movies? No, what's my favorite movie, man?
Or one of your recent favorite movies. Maybe that'll be easier.
I don't know, man. I mean, I just saw Weird Science on TV the other day. I'm like, I like Weird. I love that movie, Weird Science.
That is a good movie.
Like, but there's movies that are come on TV, and if no matter how many times I've seen them, I'll just watch it again. I'll tell you one right now. I guess my favorite movie right now is Coming to America.
There you go.
Eddie Murphy. Every time it's on, I've seen it. So I watch it back to back. It's like too many good scenes. So
he's a classic, right
now,
dude.
Right now, it's Coming to America.
What's your favorite food?
Mexican food.
Mexican food, or what kind? Tacos, burritos, tortas, all of it.
All of it, man. But I love burritos. You know, right now I'm in a wet burrito phase, weirdly enough, which is more Tex-Mex, I guess. But from Taco Spot, the place up here on Eagle Rock, or where I live, it's like every Tuesday I get it. Every Tuesday it's my – I didn't grow up on wet burritos. I thought that was too American. I was like, I'm gonna. But like this wet burrito, I recommend it to anybody.
Good salsa, huh? Good sauce.
Oh, everything. I mean, the ingredients, everything tastes good. The sauce on top. It's a wonderful way to start your Tuesday.
Yum. I'm getting hungry right now. It's already lunchtime anyway.
Yeah.
Are you more of a coffee guy or a tea guy?
I am a coffee in the morning to noon and a tea after that. Like, I'm trying to switch to tea after that. And I'm not even a heavy coffee drinker. I water it down, make it like iced coffee or whatever. I'm not a heavy coffee drinker, but... That's the plan for now. To keep me, you know, busy.
If this is easy to answer, what's your favorite album of all time? Or do you have like a top three or top five that you can
name? Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's weird, but I have more like Mount Rushmore of like people, like musicians. So like my Mount Rushmore, and then if you pick one record by them, that's like my top five, right? So like Neil Young, David Bowie, The Beach Boys, The Beatles. And that fifth one would maybe be, you know, I'd have to think about that fifth one. But because I'd have to think about it. But those top four, definitely, as far as how I write music, maybe like, and maybe less Beatles, more John Lennon solo. I don't know. So let's say Pet Sounds. Let's say, which one by the Beatles? I like Abbey Road by the Beatles. Pet Sounds, Abbey Road, Harvest or After the Gold Rush, or Zuma. I can't tell. Neil Young has got too many good ones. And then David Bowie has to be going. Man of Soul of the World, maybe. I don't know, man. The Hunky Dory, I love. They're all good, dude. Don't ask me these questions, man.
I know they're hard. I said lightning round, but sometimes they take longer.
Yeah. Wait.
If we weren't in a pandemic and if money wasn't a thing, where in the world would you want to travel?
That's interesting you say that, because me and the lady are supposed to be traveling soon. We try to go to one place that's off the beaten path and then one like major city or something around the world. So next we're thinking about, I think we're thinking about India, somewhere in India, and then as a first place. And then I guess something around that area or like in that vicinity hemisphere is the second place. We're thinking about India first though. So that's where we want to go for the food.
That would sound awesome. And probably the food is delicious too. You're a big fan of the Indian food?
I like it, but my lady loves it. She could have it every day. And so like Yeah, I mean, and I love it, so it's like, yeah, I'm down. That sounds
there
like
you
a,
go.
Good, a good spot. Anywhere with good food, it's going to be a good time. Yeah.
There you go. That's cool. So let's get into the last song of the session, and it's a cover, right?
Yeah.
By, so let's. This is Gemma by Los Dandies.
Como piedra preciosa, como divina joya, valiosa de verdad. Si mis ojos no me mienten, si mis ojos no me engañan, tu belleza es sin igual. Como piedra preciosa, como divina joya, valiosa de verdad. Si mis ojos no me mienten, si mis ojos no me engañan, tu belleza es sin igual. Tuve una vez la ilusión de tener un amor que me hiciera valer. Luego que te vi, mujer, yo te pude querer con toditita mi alma. Eres la gema que Dios convirtiera en mujer para bien de mi vida. Por eso quise cantar y gritar que te quiero, mujer consentida. Por eso elevo mi voz, bendiciendo tu nombre y pidiéndote amor. Como piedra preciosa, como divina joya, valiosa de verdad. Si mis ojos no me mienten, si mis ojos no me engañan, tu belleza sin igual.
And we're back. You're here on the Independence 88.5 FM. We're here with Joel Jerome. If you want, you can take a sip of your coffee.
It's go ahead.
It's okay. We need, everybody needs their coffee.
Hey man, this is morning for me right now, but happy to be here. Thank you.
Exactly. And so what made you want to cover Los Dandies? And can you tell me, I don't think I've heard of the band before. Can you tell me a little bit about the band?
Look them up. They're a Trios band from, I mean, they've been all since the 40s, I guess, you know, and they've had revolving members for a little while. My dad played that type of music. It's called bolero, I guess, or Trios music. And so that's one of the things I grew up on a little bit when my dad played it, and my mom would play it every once in a while. And then when I really got into it, I just started listening to it. And Los Dandies are like the biggest group. They're like the Beatles maybe of that era. There's also Los Panchos, which is maybe the Rolling Stones. So there's a lot of good ones, and just three players normally, and three vocal parts and three guitar parts with a lead part. So it's just beautiful music that's written, like, you know, people think of like Latino music, Latin music, Mexican music, whatever, they always go to like the banda stuff, the ranchera stuff, which is obviously very true and authentic, but there's also this era, this golden era of like, so like Western songwriting kind of craft that they did. It's like more jazzy chords and these things like that, less like what I call like ranchera Mexican country, more like Mexican jazz in a sense, but like vocal harmony jazz. It's just like really good stuff. And but beyond that, unlike jazz, there's definitely like song structure, like, you know, like first chorus verse type song structure. And that's really catchy and really good. And you know, I could, like, I played that, and if I sang it in English, it could sound like a lot of different songs. But the way they deliver it is amazing. Like, I would recommend anyone to look into that music and just have it on in the background, because it's amazing. It's really beautiful. Three instruments, three people. I like that concept. And it's timeless. And your parents, your grandparents will love it if you played that around them. Trust me.
I will. During Christmas, I'll tell them, like, hey, do you like the song?
Yes. If they know, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Joel, for your time and for playing these awesome songs for us here. What else you got with the rest of your day today?
Well, actually, one thing I forgot to mention, my next this upcoming year is like, I'm trying to like, which will have to do with what I do today, but I'm also joined a union for musicians called the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers, UMA. And, so that's kind of going to take up hopefully the other part of my life, not the creative, but the other side, to kind of like help organize and work towards just fair pay for people, musicians, especially during COVID. It really opened my eyes to like how the thin line that a lot of us creatives walk, you know, and so like things go poorly, there's no safety net. So working with UMA is like a priority for me. I want to learn as much as I can, sit in with, they have different committees that deal with different aspects of like whatever they're looking into, like streaming, education for musicians, for labels, or for relationships with labels and stuff. So how to take care of yourself, how to like take care of yourself monetarily, and you know, and it's a good, just a lot of committees that are trying to deal with all the aspects. And so I'm trying to sit in and figure out which ones I can help in the most. And the other part of my year, obviously moving forward, is going to be that. And so like I just wanted to give a quick shout out to UMA. I think it's I think it's unionofmusicians.org, but they should look into any musician and should sign up for it, because we need a union, and we need a real union that does stuff for us. So it's like I feel it's important to move, to do something proactive about it, and not just like complain for me all the time. I have to hold myself accountable, because I always talk about it, so I might as well try to put my efforts in. So that's my rest of the day. We'll see what I can kind of committees I can join, and then look into what's going on. But I recommend any musician then to look into UMA, because they're doing good work. It's just by musicians, we're all running it, so we're all got to, you know, obviously stick together and work together. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's cool. Yeah, I think that's very important, especially if God forbid this happens all over again in coming years or something, you know, where artists are left defenseless, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Joel. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I'm looking forward to your music next year.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having this show. It's important. So I'm glad someone's doing it. I'm glad you're doing it. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.